This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Sticky Brigade launched today. Sticky Patrol, Sticky Brigade. I'm not sure what I'm going to call it, but I need to be irreverent. I need to be a little tongue-in-cheek about it because I find this process comical, at least at this point. Maybe it becomes more serious if they yank a pitcher off the mound out of a game after he finishes up his first or second inning. It was happening all over Major League Baseball. So whether you were at a ballpark or have been enjoying games on TV, you may have seen an umpire. Now, depending upon whether or not the TV camera is stuck with your game, your broadcast during the break between innings, you may not have seen it, but the videos could have been replayed after the fact. Umpires just randomly, not so randomly, asking for a pitcher's glove and looking at the baseballs and, of course, checking to see whether or not they're using any type of sticky substance. So Sticky Patrol, it's a brand new thing. We're creating jobs in Major League Baseball. Just kidding, we're not really. The umpires are being asked to do more. It's a little bit like what's happening around the rest of the United States of America, right? The people who are working and have been working through the last year and a half, they're just being asked to do more. And I'm hoping those umpires get a raise because they now have to belong to the Sticky Brigade. I'm still trying it on for size. I can't figure out which way I'm going to go with it. It's, as I say, a little bit humorous to see this happening. I wonder how long it's going to be as prevalent as it was on this Monday evening. And how long, anybody want to do an over-under on how many days until a baseball umpire catches a pitcher or suspects a pitcher of using a sticky substance, whether it be spider tack, whether it be sunscreen, whether it be, what was the other popular one? Rosin and sweat, Trevor Bauer. How long until baseball actually flags a guy and punishes a guy? That's an interesting question. Will these checks actually reveal that there are pitchers dumb enough out there to try it and hope that they just don't get noticed? I mean, that's the thing. MLB has given pitchers plenty of notice. And now they're doing it in season, so pitchers are trying to adjust. You all know what some of the pitchers have said over the last week plus. How long until someone decides to try it and gets caught? That'll be a fun show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Would love to have you find us on social media. So whether on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We got a bunch of traffic so far, and actually the polls and the voting is still live, so you still have the opportunity to vote for Man Crush Monday. And so whether it's our show Twitter or whether it's our my personal Twitter or our Facebook page, you can find that poll up. And we're going to delay the announcement just a little bit. We're kind of dragging our feet so that those of you who are stragglers can go ahead and cast your vote if you hadn't heard about the poll. I know we have a lot of different people who listen at a lot of different times. If you are listening on the podcast after the fact, well, you may be too late to the party. But check it out on either Twitter or Facebook. And as always, I'm giving you a heads up. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. This is just the latest in a round of changes that Major League Baseball is trying to, I don't want to say fix, because that's the wrong word. When you're a sports fan, you hear the word fix or fixing, and what do you automatically think? You think the results of the particular game or contest were predetermined before they ever set foot on the field, the court, the ice, but in this case, the field. So I hesitate to use the word fixing, but fixing can also mean repairing, right? So in Major League Baseball's eyes, meaning Rob Manfred and his henchmen, in the eyes of MLB officials, baseball's broken. In fact, it's been this way for a couple of years. And so MLB continues to tinker with the baseballs, now with the substances that pitchers are allowed to use, asking these pitchers to go cold turkey. Wait until you hear what Dusty Baker had to say. As a driver who does take some liberties with the speed limits, I can neither confirm nor deny. There are times when I drive it like I stole it. Not all the time. I'm obsessed right now with gas mileage. This is so me. And so because my car, Princess Leia, lets me know how much gas mileage I'm using on every acceleration and every trip, every commute into New York City, which is where our CBS Sports Radio headquarters are located, because I can see that in real time, I'm obsessed with finding the right spot on my speedometer that gives me optimal gas mileage. I know I'm a total nerd. Go ahead and laugh at me. It's totally fine. I don't know when I got on this. Maybe when I was doing my road trip to South Carolina and I started watching, you know what happens when you're on a long road trip, 12 hours in the car, you start entertaining yourself in variety of ways. I'd already played the license plate game, so I started something new, and it was trying to find the optimal speed to create the best gas mileage, most efficient, right? And so
60% of the time, it works every time.
So because I started doing that, now I'm not speeding as much because, you know, driving it like you stole it actually is not optimal for your gas mileage. Anyway, back to the task at hand. So you'll love what Dusty Baker has to say. I do, as a girl who in the past has taken some freedom behind the wheel and turned that into interpretations of the speed limits. It's my truth. Oh my gosh, isn't that so 2021 of us? It's my truth. What's my truth may not be your truth. So in the past, speed limits were not my truth. Anyway, Dusty Baker has a great metaphor using speed limits for what baseball is attempting to do. But back to this whole fixing thing. Baseball ultimately believes that the product is broken. Because if Rob Manfred and his MLB henchmen did not believe the product was broken, they wouldn't be trying so hard to change the equipment, tweak the way baseballs are manufactured, now crack down cold turkey on any type of substance, even if it's only one that's allowing the pitchers to grip a little better. And it feels very contrived to me. Almost as though baseball has this idea of what the game should look like. Maybe even has an idea of where batting averages should be collectively as a sport. Was it, what, a month ago when we were having the whole discussion about how batting averages were on pace to be the lowest in baseball history over the course of a season? That did not sit well with Manfred and with baseball officials. But part of the issue is that they changed the way that baseballs were manufactured in the offseason after pitchers complained, right? So now they go the other way. Too many home runs. Let's change the way that baseballs are wound. Maybe that will put more balls in play. But it didn't. Well, so now it must be because pitchers have gotten too liberal with their sticky substances. So let's create the sticky patrol. We want to speed up pace of play. So let's put a runner on second base in extra innings, which will create more offense. It feels as though baseball has this idea of what the game should look like, how the game should flow, what numbers should be coming out of baseball. Now remember, Rob Manfred didn't like the fact that there were so many home runs and so many strikeouts. That wasn't okay. And so because of that, it's almost as though baseball started with an end point and that the end point justifies any of the means. Whatever means necessary to get to this idea. Except that's not how sports are supposed to go. Now, granted, we've seen this in other sports, right? We've seen this in the NBA, where the rules changes over the last decade have led to higher offensive output, so higher scoring teams. Of course, more three-point shooters, more motion. Any little thing is a foul, which means defenders are not allowed to body up. They're not allowed to be real physical. So that facilitates more space and motion and shooting, not to mention flopping and heading to the free throw line and whistles. Blah, can't stand it. In the NFL, the league has gone out of its way, stopping short of putting quarterbacks in red uniforms or red pennies. Remember pennies? Stopping short of putting quarterbacks out there in red unis. But otherwise, sometimes they might as well be wrapped up in bubble wrap. You're not allowed to touch them. And so changing the rules about pass interference and yada, 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 all the ways that the NFL has come up with to try to facilitate more offense. And so really that's a theme across the board in sports. Anything to boost the numbers, offense is sexy. This will attract the fans. Like we're stupid or something. Like we're sucked in by the shiny objects. We're mesmerized by home runs, 50 touchdown seasons. We don't appreciate defense. We don't actually understand the role of defense. So I go a little bit off the deep end there just to say that it's happening in other sports as well. Rules changes have led to more offensive sports. Offensive and offensive. Now here comes baseball. Except it feels very gimmicky to me. A lot of these tweaks feel very gimmicky to me. And I don't know that it's going to accomplish the ultimate goal. Is it going to attract more fans? Because right now I feel like your casual fan probably only knows that baseball's cracking down on something called spider tack. I mean, I'm not even a casual fan, and I'd never heard of spider tack before 2 weeks ago. So here is baseball attempting to suck in a new fan base. In my opinion, the game will be better served by promoting its young superstars, its young sluggers, its bright new talent, as opposed to trotting out umpires after Jacob DeGrom finishes his first inning on the mound for the Mets. And really, he's just one example. But it was an afternoon game because they had a doubleheader. Better serve to just allow the game to be what it is. To allow hitters to adjust to pitchers. Pitchers to adjust to hitters. No, I'm not saying there should be rampant cheating. We know sticky substances in some form or another have been outlawed in the game. But to go cold turkey and to now be running these random checks in the middle of a game, that's what casual fans are knowing. That's what casual fans are recognizing. They're not thinking, oh, wow, this game is great. Nor are they hearing about guys like Vladimir Guerrero Jr. or Shohei Ohtani or Fernando Tatis. Not as much as they should be. And yes, there's many more guys that should be on that list. It reminds me a little bit of what NASCAR has done over the past 7 years, 5, 6, 7 years. NASCAR used to be the number two spectator sport in the country. You may not know that. You may not believe me. But according to TV viewership, about 15 years ago, NASCAR was the number two spectator sport in the country beside the NFL. It was extremely popular. Now, part of that is because it had some very marketable superstars. Because it was a great TV product. Just the whole package. It hit this boom. NASCAR was flying high. And then, and this is only part of the reason. I'm not telling you this is the entire reason. But the economic, well, the market crash in 2009 changed a lot. So sponsors couldn't afford to spend the money that they were on cars. NASCAR fans weren't spending as much money to go to races. It's very expensive to run a team. So you started to see the advent of these kind of super teams as opposed to individual car and driver. So it changed the sport. It changed the face of the sport. And fans diversified. People started watching other sports. You kind of had the advent of these networks that focus specifically on one sport. There's just a lot of different things that changed. And NASCAR, instead of trying to figure out organic ways to keep fans interested and to appeal to its core base, which had always supported it, NASCAR starts tweaking with everything from the cars to the playoffs, to how races are run. I mean, I barely recognize the sport anymore. And I don't enjoy all the changes that they've made. And I think NASCAR has alienated some of its core fan base. And now, to me, the sport feels like it's just kind of adrift. There have been some waves in popularity after the races were restarted following the pandemic in late spring of 2020. And there are definitely still some superstar guys that are driving. And now you've got guys involved like Michael Jordan and Alvin Kamara. There are certainly members of Hollywood who love NASCAR and who have chosen to be part of it. But it's not the same. NASCAR screwed around with it, tinkered here, tinkered there, changed so much of it, and coupled with the fact that a lot of their guys retired, a lot of their biggest names, their stars retired, the sport fell off the map for a while. I hope it doesn't stay that way. But at times, I feel like NASCAR is almost unrecognizable. Is baseball going to put itself in that type of a situation? I think if you tinker too much, you run the risk of alienating the people who've supported you for so long. And then I think about the fact that baseball's been around for a century plus. Has it been through some tough times? Sure, every sport goes through those. But how about pay attention to what really matters, which is not having a work stoppage, because that will do far more damage than a pitcher here or there having sunscreen on the baseball or taking the time for hitters to adjust, right? Everything's cyclical to me in life and in sports. So I don't know. I wonder if baseball is so focused on their end, what they want the sport to look like, that they've lost sight of what matters. They've lost sight of their core fan base. So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see whether or not it works the way that Rob Manfred would like it to. Now, coming up next hour, pretty excited about this. Whenever I want to pick the brain of a big league hitter, Jeff Blum is always one of my favorites. So, he played for 15 years roughly and played all the way through the 2000s. And then I think last hit a baseball in 2012, has a World Series ring, is now with the Astros. So we've had some tough conversations about the Astros and cheating. He did play with the Astros, but is now with Astros TV. So he'll join us next hour from Houston. The Astros, by the way, are on an 8-game winning streak, and they've taken over first place in the AL West. I know that annoys many of you. And so we'll ask him, how much does it matter when pitchers have a sticky substance on the ball? How prevalent was it when he was standing in batter's boxes? And what is baseball doing? Is this going to work or is it creating more of a mess? So that'll be great with Jeff Blum. And I'd love to hear from you. I know we've had this conversation, but if you saw the umpires stop one of the pitchers, I mean, I'm looking at it right now. Julio Urias for the Dodgers. He was one of those guys who, Yu Darvish, same thing, had to surrender their hats, their gloves, had to unbuckle their belts. That's not awkward. Went to show whether or not they had any sticky substance. First time that we're seeing this happen across the board in Major League Baseball parks. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio. On our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Now, we've got a bunch of other stuff we're going to do. There was a bit of a bloodbath in the Stanley Cup semifinals. We also have Doc Rivers trying to give you answers about Ben Simmons, who is reportedly going to skip the Olympics this year so that he can focus on getting better as a Sixer, which seems to indicate he will not be traded out of Philadelphia. Speaking of trades, Brad Stevens explains why they traded away Kemba Walker and brought Al Horford back to Boston. And the Supreme Court in a ruling that impacts college athletics. So we're going to dabble. We got a little bit of everything. Oh, even some football. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This has been really fun, but I'd like to move on to other topics at some point. You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Puck is going to be played by Anthony Cirelli. Into the offensive zone. Let's go to Stamkos. Stamkos holds. High slot. Kalorin, a shot block. Rebound. Stamkos. Score! It came right to him! And he had an open net! 45 seconds in. It's 1-0 Lightning and the goal for Stamkos. He'll slide at left point to Stamkos. Kolarov's Kucherov in front. Point! Score! He has goals in 8 straight playoff games! Luke Shen back in the neutral zone for Sergachev. They'll return Johnson, banks it for Colton across the blue line, left circle. Delivers it cross ice, Maroon, right point, Luke Shen. A little shot, score!
Luke,
that bounced past Sorokin. I don't think that was tipped. That'll be a goal for Luke Shen to make it 8-0.
We wanted to be able to come home and end a series tonight, not have to, you know, keep building. And so love the effort, but in the end, it's one win. And regardless what you win by, it's the one that matters, you know, not by how much. And so it's a clean slate in 2 nights, and we got to get after it again.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I'm not sure that John Cooper has to remind his veteran locker room, the Tampa Bay Lightning, who only have 2 guys that were not part of last year's Stanley Cup championship. I don't think he has to remind them that these 8 goals, this shutout, does not carry over into game number 6. At Nassau Coliseum. But I think it's just as critical for Barry Trotz and the Islanders to let that fact, to let that point sink in, to let that ruminate. You don't need to watch the tape. I don't think it benefits you at all to, in 48 hours to go back and see how bad it was. The Tampa Bay Lightning have the ability to score lightning fast. This is one of the reasons why they've been such a consistent team and why they are the Stanley Cup champion back in the semifinals again this year. They've got incredible leadership. They got speed. They've got firepower for days. That second line had been relatively quiet until the first period of this game 5 on Monday night. It was an all-out barrage. And then they've got a goaltender in Andrei Vasilevsky, who's now got 4 shutouts in his playoff career, but was playing with a full head of confidence, just feeling like what, if, and it really is the case for any defense in any sport. When you've got that kind of offensive support, it buoys you. It lifts you up. It takes a lot of the pressure off. Not that he can't handle the pressure, but you catch my drift. So Steven Stamkos with a pair of goals and an assist. Oh, there's that guy again, Braden Point, with yet another goal. Now his 13th of the playoffs. And here is my nerd alert that I will pass along about this veteran team who not only was upset in the first round of the playoffs in 2019, despite having the best record in the NHL. So they dealt with that disappointment and that failure, but then turned around and found some vindication in 2020 by winning the cup. They've had the full gamut of experience. The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. There's not a whole lot these guys haven't seen on the ice. There's not a whole lot they haven't faced as a group. Again, the consistency really matters. And here is a stat that underscores their maturity, their patience, their confidence, and their resiliency as a team. All of those qualities are necessary to be a champion. Not to mention their ability to forget what happened the game before and move forward. In the last 2 years, the last 2 postseason runs, they are 13-0 after a loss. They don't lose back-to-back games.
That's nerd stuff.
It is, but doesn't it tell you an accurate story about the Tampa Bay Lightning and why they're champions and why here they are, 1 win away from returning to the Stanley Cup final? Because they don't lose 2 games in a row. It's mental toughness. It's teamwork, it's chemistry, obviously it's talent, it's coaching, it's all of those things, it's the total package. But it's also the fact that, as I say, they have all kinds of experience that carries them through, that they can fall back on. And so you've got the Islanders, who are facing the same situation as they were a year ago. Remember, well, it wasn't a year ago, sorry. It was in the fall of 2020, but last season. Same matchup in the Stanley Cup semifinals, and they lost in six games. Can they now force a seventh game back to Tampa? As much as John Cooper said, hey, it's a great win, but it only counts as one. Well, that's the same thing that Barry Trotz and some of the veterans in the Islanders locker room will be saying.
It was one of those nights where we couldn't do anything right. It didn't go our way, and it just, it was a tough one. We'll just have to park it. I mean, at the end of the day, we're going back home. It's 3-2, and we just got to focus on you know, earning the right to keep playing.
I mean, a loss is a loss this time of year, whether it was in double overtime or the way it went tonight. We'll wake up tomorrow down 3-2, headed home and with our backs against the wall. But, I mean, we got a chance to win a game at home. That's all we're focused on now. We're in this situation for a reason. But we've gotten this far, and we're just going to regroup, get ready for game six, and, yeah, that's all.
Barry Trotz and Kyle Palmieri of the Islanders. I will say this. The intensity inside Nassau Coliseum is going to be ratcheted up even more. We've seen some amazing playoff atmospheres inside the place they call the barn. Now, consider the fact, and you may or may not have read this if you follow hockey, they've already sold out their season tickets for the brand new Coliseum that will be opening up in the fall. But we're seeing the last, potentially the last game of the, well, the last playoff game of the barn. And so that place, it might just raise the roof because they have no choice. You either win or you're done. And the fans have shown up to this point, and I can imagine that they will be primed and ready for game number six. Although I always vote for game seven, which would be Friday night back in Tampa if it is necessary. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page. Look forward to hearing from you. It's a little bit comical to see umpires asking pitchers to unbuckle their belts. Just baseball, what are you doing?
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
It was typical Jacob deGrom getting the side in order of the first, and guess what happened as he started off the mound? He became one of the first victims, and looking at the out-of-town scoreboard, I guess one of literally the first pitcher to have his glove and self inspected by the umpires for sticky substances at the end of the inning. Get used to it. Today's the first day of it.
You know, they said going into it they were going to check, and, you know, I expected it. You know, it is what it is, and they wanted to go ahead and check, and that was fine.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jacob deGrom taking everything in stride. He was not the only pitcher, not even close to being the only one. In fact, it seems like the Sticky Patrol got to almost every pitcher, or at least one pitcher in every game, because it was everywhere by the time we got through Monday evening's slate, including both pitchers in the Dodgers-Padres game that was on national TV, both starters. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. If you'd like to weigh in on baseball's latest attempt to crack down on what it considers to be cheating, unfair balls. Advantages by checking the balls, but not just the balls, but anyone who handles the balls. Let's talk to Tom, who's in Arizona. Welcome to After Hours.
Oh, hi, Amy. Nice to talk with you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say a couple of things.
I don't think it's fair to say that Rob Manfred is saying that baseball is broken, but he's saying that times have changed. And what fans loved years ago, they no longer love. I think Rob Manfred is looking at the data, especially the demographic data, which says, I think, that the average fan is 55 or older. I think Rob Manfred is saying that if the demographic trends continue, the average age of the baseball fan will be dead. I think we have to recognize that baseball is a very slow sport that gives you very little action for the amount of time it takes to play the game. Now, I'd like to suggest quickly two reforms for baseball, which I think will improve it. For one thing, I'd like to establish a pitch clock for pitchers. After 10 seconds, a bell would gently sound.
A bell?
And then after,
would fans hear the bell too, or just the pitchers?
Well, everybody would hear the bell. It would go throughout the ballpark.
Oh,
but it would just be one ding, and then after 15 seconds, a horn would blow, and the team would be charged with a ball. I think that would be a deterrent for pitchers. Now, I recall Tom Seaver and Bob Gibson when I was growing up. I don't know that they ever would have violated a 15-second rule for pitchers. Now,
but there's already a pitch clock.
But I don't think it. How long is it?
I thought it was 30 seconds.
But do they really enforce that?
Well, there's a big giant clock in the ballparks. I think everybody can see it. Maybe it's not 30 seconds. I was just spitballing there. Producer Dave is looking it up really quickly. But there's already a pitch clock.
But I think it needs to be enforced. And I think if you bring that down to 15 seconds, I think that could speed things up too. And then I'd like to make a second suggestion.
Are batters allowed to step out of the batter's box then when they're not ready after 15 seconds?
Well, what I would say is the batter can step out one time per at bat, and the pitcher could step off the rubber, I think, one time to adjust the pitcher's mound to make the hole, you know, where he's stepping into, and do that one time per inning, you know, and really if the weather conditions are such that he has to do it more than that, then maybe it's too wet to be playing. That's another problem too. But another thing that I just wanted to get off my chest too, maybe it's not quite on point, but in a way it is, because I think people have different attitudes about this than they used to. As far as throwing at somebody's head, you know, the brushback pitches, now, I think that has been accepted, you know, by people inside of baseball as more or less a time-honored
Not anymore.
Practice.
Not anymore.
Well, it shouldn't be. And
guys get thrown out now for doing that without even a warning, and can get suspended for doing it.
Well, I wonder about that now. You know, I think you're seeing batters still called upon to hit the deck and whatnot. So
sometimes pitchers just mess up. Sometimes they just throw it in the wrong place, or they lose the grip on the baseball, which, by the way, might be one reason that they should be allowed to use some kind of sticky substance so they don't lose control of the baseball.
But that's a funny thing too, in a way, Amy. I think that you seem to hear different things about that. That some people think that the substances will cause the ball to go out of control, and for them to not have control over it. I think that's why they outlawed the spitball years ago, because I think they thought that the pitcher could not control it. And But anyway, my notion would be that. Well, I wanted to get back to what I was saying as far as...
you were talking about pitch clock. So let me just clarify really quick. Thank you, Producer Dave, for looking this up. Minor leagues has a pitch clock, not one yet in Major League Baseball. They're experimenting with it. And according to what Dave just looked up, the average time between pitches at the major league level is about 25 seconds. Okay, so about 10 seconds longer than the pitch count that you would institute. But we know that the commissioner, Rob Manfred, has tried multiple ways to speed up pace of play. Do you know what happens? It shaves maybe 2 or 3 minutes off each game, Tom. It doesn't really do, it doesn't make a drastic difference, the kind that you seem to think that it would. But even so, there's no guarantee that just because you shave, I don't know, let's just say, 10 minutes or 15 minutes off every game, that all of a sudden it's going to make the game more popular to, I mean, theoretically, younger fans. I don't know that Rob Manfred really has any concrete ideas about how to make it more appealing to a younger generation. But in my opinion, how about you highlight your 20-year-old superstars? How about you highlight the exciting guys like Fernando Tatis and Vlad Guerrero Jr., some second-generation players? How about you highlight some of the guys that that are the future of the game that are turning into superstars before our eyes? Like, to me, that does, once I get attached to an athlete, I want to watch him or her play. To me, that does a lot more good than shaving maybe 3 minutes off your average game.
It doesn't have to be either or, Amy, of course.
Yeah, I just, again, I don't think 3 minutes makes that big of a deal, but maybe you do.
Yeah, I wonder about that in a way. I wonder if, I don't know. I think the times when I've watched, it seemed like they took a lot longer.
No, they've done studies on this and about how much time is, you know, when they started to, or tried anyway, to keep batters from stepping out, when they've tried to limit the pitching changes, and it really hasn't ultimately made that much of a difference. Now, I think baseball's issue now is that they feel like there aren't enough balls in play, which actually does make the game move along faster if there's no balls in play. But yeah, they don't like the kind of extremes of home runs or strikeouts. And then by tinkering with the baseball, what's happened? There's been fewer home runs, but there's still just as many strikeouts. So baseball just keeps trying. They just keep tinkering with the equipment, tinkering with the game, tinkering with the formula, and I'm sorry, Tom, I don't see that it's that much more appealing to the younger generation if that's how you think baseball should be working, if that's the goal you think they should be working toward.
Oh, maybe it does come under the heading of times have changed and people want more action when they are watching a game.
Instant gratification, that's what it's all about.
You know, I think they used to say that the average baseball game, I heard this stat years ago, I think, that the average baseball game has like about 8 minutes of action in it, you know, where something is really going on. The rest of it is the pitcher and the catcher playing pitch and catch or foul balls and whatnot.
I got you, but you can't completely change that. That's the nature of the game. It is not a timed sport. So there's no way that you can completely change that without screwing up the game, which, in my opinion, Manfred is coming dangerously close to with some of this gimmicky stuff. So we're going to talk to Jeff Blum coming up at the top of the hour. Tom, thank you so much for your insight from Arizona, for your ideas. Baseball better hope it works. I mean, this is what, year 5 or 6 in a row of Rob Manfred and MLB trying various ways to change the game enough that, I mean, if you agree with Tom, that younger fans are interested. To me, it's about highlighting the young superstars who are powerful and explosive and fun and who have a lot of fire and intensity, and highlighting rivalries like what we're seeing between the Dodgers and Padres these days. I mean, it's about highlighting the positive things in sports, not trying to eliminate everything you see as negative.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road.
With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.